everyone, and welcome back into a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We've got another amazing show that is happening right down in the heart of the Washington Square Park area, right there in the West Village. And joining us to talk about this great work is the playwright and producer of the show, Caitlin Winsett. She's here to tell us about her show, Watch Me, which is currently playing now through August 25th at the Players Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting theplayerstheater.com. We are so thrilled to be bringing you another production at this great venue. And we're really excited about this one in particular. So let's go ahead and welcome on our guest, Caitlin. Welcome into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. First of all, thank you for reaching out and putting the show on our radar. We always love when we have artists that are like, oh, hey, here's what I'm doing. You think you might be interested? Because I'm like, absolutely. Anyone creating art, like, let's go. But we also love anyone who's getting the opportunity to perform at the Players Theater. It's a wonderful venue right there off of McDougal Street. So I want to start by asking you, what is Watch Me about?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Watch Me is about three teenagers in a facility where they are under constant surveillance. They've lived there their whole lives. They don't have any adults in the facility with them. They're completely alone, except for a robot named Rad that takes care of them. And the president, or so they think, Rodman, who is on a screen and just kind of looks at them. And so it's about them, their lives, and how their lives get disrupted when, for the first time ever, a new person enters the facility.
That sounds like such a fascinating story there. That is incredible. So let me ask you, what inspired you to pen this piece?
I definitely had several inspirations. First, I would say the fact that I was a media studies major in college. I went to the University of Virginia and they have a program on media studies. And I took a particular class with a professor, Professor Viafanathan, called Privacy and Surveillance. And it was all about how our world is kind of becoming a surveillance state almost entirely. And the implications of that and where we are being watched, where we aren't being watched, what our phones are doing versus not doing. Like, are they listening to us? Does Google actually have all of our information? Yada, yada, yada. And it was just really interesting both to learn from a professor on the subject, like what is happening in our day-to-day lives that we don't notice about being surveilled, but also to dig really deep into media surrounding that and like this fear that we as a society have of surveillance and being monitored. And so that was a huge inspiration, as well as I was just like in a weird place in my life. I struggle a lot with mental health. And so I was at a point in my life where my mental health was kind of low. And I personally have a lot of anxiety. And I felt like everyone was watching me and judging me all of the time. And it was a terrible way to live. And I just was chafing because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm constantly being watched. I can't say anything. I can't do anything. I can't be who I am because everyone is looking at me all the time. And so that combined with my like education, I kind of spun it into a world of like, okay, what if this was normal? What if this was just the way things were, or at least for some people, the way things are, and it's their normal and it's not scary and it's not extreme. It's just like, yeah, that's what happens. And then someone like you or me comes in and sees that and feels that fear that we feel every day, or some of us, not every day, but that feeling of fear we often fear when the topic of being watched and being surveilled comes up versus people who don't think it's scary at all.
That is incredible. Wow. Very 1984-esque kind of thing going on here. I love it. Now, is this production that's being mounted at the Players Theater the world premiere of the piece, or has it been developed or done elsewhere?
It's definitely been developed a few times. So I originally did the piece in March of 2020 on Zoom for my school. It was one of the first Zoom theater productions. Like we shut down in on March 15th. Our show started March 30th. So we had about 2 weeks to like turn it from an in-person to an online production and just get everything together. And I worked with a wonderful team on that. And so that was the first ever production. And then I took feedback from that, rewrote some things, had another hybrid production with Curvigo Ensemble Theater, where they had in 2021, where they had, I believe it was like a 20 seat reading in here in New York, and then also a Zoom production. So that was, it was more of a stage, both of those were more stage readings, as it's really hard to do anything beyond a stage reading with Zoom. And then I had it in a festival recently, two Octobers ago, had a short run in a festival. That one, we ran into a lot of problems. All of our actors got COVID. We had to change everything. I was playing four characters. It was an interesting time. If anyone saw that, it is not the same show. And so this is kind of like for this script, for this story, I think it both is and isn't the world premiere because we've done a lot of work on it. I've done a lot of work personally. My teams have done a lot of work. And so it is a completely new story to any time I've done it before, but also it is built on all those other times.
That is incredible. Wow. What a journey. So I do want to turn a little bit more to the current production that's being performed at the Players Theater. And I'm curious to know, what was it like developing that particular iteration of Watch Me?
Yeah, this is the iteration that I am most proud of and I feel is most interesting to me, which is good because I wrote it. But it was definitely, it's been a long journey. So I'm doing this show through the Players Theater Self-Production Resident or Self-Production Fellowship Program. So they contacted me like a year ago saying that, okay, I got into their program. They were going to put on Watch Me. And this, I was like barely a year into New York. They were like, here's a budget. Do you think this works? And I was like, yeah, sure, totally. So then I had a year to think about it and to try and build it and to try and find a director, find a cast, figure out like what I want to work on the script and figure out everything like that. And so really this whole last year has been development and then it just keeps ramping and ramping and ramping. As we got closer, it took quite a while to find our cast, honestly, longer than I thought. I originally predicted that I would have the show cast by January. I did not have it cast until May. And the rehearsal process was short because it needed to be just for the sake of like space and time and money and such. But yeah, it's been really wonderful because I had a lot of time personally and with other people, friends, colleagues, et cetera, to work on the script, to send it to people and be like, does this make sense to be like this versus this? And then also with the Players Theater team, they did a lot of collaboration with me. We met up monthly leading up to this process. So I spent a lot of time there. And then once we got the actors in the room, it was great because it was like starting the process all over again because now I had people in roles and they were like, okay, I have questions. I want to know this about my character. I feel like my character does this. And it's really wonderful to be able to kind of develop with people and with my wonderful director, Graydon Gund, who has read the script probably too many times at this point. I think he's sick of it, but he came in with a lot of like research and knowledge and the actors did as well. And so we've had a lot of really great discussions. And as we kept building the show, and even when we were getting into the space for the first time, we were still kind of building everything up and like figuring out last minute details and like everything down to each transitional moment has meaning and has purpose that the group has like fed in. And it's just made this really wonderfully well-developed piece.
That's fantastic. Wow. Again, you're just building on that incredible journey you had to go on, the show took to get here. So that's wonderful. Now, with this Orwellian story, if you will, you know, but still kind of a familiar tale, let's be honest. You know, is there a message or a thought you hope that audiences take away from the piece?
There are definitely a few. So one of the subtexts of the piece is queer love. And that is just personal to me. I'm a queer person. And a lot of that time period where I was developing the piece and had a lot of anxiety was about my sexuality. And so this piece is meant to show like, hey, things can be hard. Like you can, sometimes you do have to go against what you've considered to be the only way. And like, it's kind of like everyone talks about when one door closes, another door opens. This piece is kind of trying to say like, okay, sometimes the door is not going to open and you need to like carve it out of the wall. Sometimes you just got to make the door or like kick out the window or do something. It's not always easy. And sometimes it feels really scary and it kind of sucks, but it's important to do that, especially if you're feeling trapped or unfulfilled or like you're constrained. And so that's a big part of it. And also just the idea of like, you know, we are honestly all being watched pretty much all the time. I mean, with social media, with technology, with everything, like we are under pretty constant surveillance in one way or another. And I think it's important for people to think about like how they're going to let that affect them and what they're going to do about that. Because, you know, different people have, my characters have different reactions. People who've seen the show have had different reactions, but I think it's important. We all have to make a choice of like, okay, this is the world we are in right now. What are we going to do about it?
That is a phenomenal, phenomenal thought. I love that. Love it. Well, my final question for this first part is, who are you hoping to have access to watch me?
My dream is to give access to the show to like new theater makers, like people who are entering the space or people who are not young as in age, but young as in like fresh to this world and are not necessarily, you know, they don't know that this world is not just Broadway or not just like big flashy shows. Like if you have an idea and you have actors and you have like passion, you can make a show that is good. You can make a show that audiences will see, and you can make a show that like makes people think and makes people discuss, and like you can have an impact in this world without being on Broadway essentially. And like that's really who I'm trying to reach, is like the young theater makers who are kind of just entering this world, are unsure of where their place is yet, and have yet to realize that like we can make theater anywhere, any time of day. We can make it however we want. We don't have to be, you know, a huge company to make everything happen.
Well, for the second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start by asking you our regular first question. And that, of course, is what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites?
Yeah, this is a really hard question for me to answer always. I am a huge theater nerd, have been forever. Grew up on musical theater, started playwriting when I realized that I can't sing, dance, or act. I was like, well, gotta do something. And then got into the world of like straight plays and such. But some of my most notable inspirations, like the writers, the artists in the shows that like I can point at and be like that. So for writers, I'm really inspired by Sarah Dunlap. I saw The Wolves my freshman, sophomore year of college, and just the way that those characters spoke. Before then, I'd seen a lot of Shakespeare and not a lot else in terms of straight plays. And so the fact that these were like modern characters having real conversations, and it looked like someone was just like, I was walking in on a soccer practice, was huge for me. And also the little itty bit of queer representation is always appreciated. Similarly, for queer representation purposes, Fun Home, big influence on my life, always. Gosh, I think one of the main reasons that I was like, I want to do theater is because I went and saw Fun Home after my high school graduation. I sobbed all the way through. It was me and my dad. And it was just like this huge moment for me, because I was like, this is what theater can make me feel. And I want to do this for other people as well. Like, I want to help create this experience for everyone. And then also a more recent playwright, Sophie McIntosh, who wrote her show McBitches, was done at The Chain recently. She also just did a show called Caniculary. I think I'm pronouncing that right. She's newer to the scene, like still pretty indie, pretty new, but God, she's brilliant. She's got some wonderful work. And it's inspiring to see someone like around my age, around like, I feel like a closer starting point to me, you know, than like Brandon Jacob Shingens is also a huge influence. Just, I love him. I think he's powerful. I love everything he does. But when I was a baby writer looking at him, a very well acclaimed, very intelligent, many, many shows produced playwright, I was like, well, how am I going to get from here to there? And Sophie McIntosh is kind of more in that, okay, I feel like I can take steps to get to where she is. And like, that's an easy goal for now. And then after that, there's further goals of more artists, more work, et cetera. But like, yeah, just having someone like her that is doing well, being successful, but also is still kind of on that smaller indie scale is wonderful, just for influence sake. But yeah, I think those are my main influences.
I love that though. That is a wonderful list there. That's so fantastic. I want to ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
It's cheesy to say everything, I know, but really everything. I just think theater is like my Disney World. Like, it's so exciting. It's thrilling. It's magical. Even when it's really, really hard, and it can be really, really hard in a lot of different ways. I work front of house. I've worked on tech. I've, you know, produced shows. I've written shows. I like to think I've done it all. And every part of this world has its struggles and has its hard moments. But like that moment when the lights go out and you're in the audience or you're in the booth or you're on the stage and you have that brief second of stillness before the show begins, I like, if we could bottle that, I think we'd save the world. It is the most exhilarating, magical feeling. And just being able to experience that moment over and over and over again, and knowing that I played some part in creating that moment, be it as the playwright, the front of house usher, the social media manager, or even just like the audience sitting there, is infectious. And so I think like that I always am chasing that moment.
I'm such a fan of that answer. I love that. Theater is my Disney World. Yes. Yes. Someone put that on a shirt. Let's get that out right away. That's so wonderful. And actually, I'm going to snowball off of that into my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I think my favorite theater memory has to be the first show I ever, ever, ever had done on stage, walking into the first rehearsal. Because up until that point, you know, I had done tech, I had done a lot of other things, front of house, back of house, et cetera, but I had never been in the rehearsal room before beyond my kindergarten production of Barnyard Animal Show. I played Rooster Number 3, got really bad stage fright, and never went back. So I'd never been in a rehearsal room before that moment, really. And I had heard from actor friends, from director friends, et cetera, that like, that's where the magic happens. That's where everything is built and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. Like, I feel the magic too. But being able to go into that room, the rehearsal space, which was the basement of my university theater building, it was a very dark, dimly lit room. And we sat at a table and they read my script. Like, they read my words. And it was the first time I knew that my words were going to be read and acted out for an audience. And it was amazing. And it was also addictive. And I was like, I will do this forever. Because just that fun moment of hearing my words for the first time and being in that room and helping to create the magic in a new way was really, really powerful.
I love that. That is such a wonderful memory. Oh, that's so wonderful. I wish I could have been in that room just to see your face light up. Oh, that's so wonderful. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about Watch Me or about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
The best way to reach me is always going to be Instagram. Watch Me has an Instagram, which is watchme_NYC. And then I have an Instagram for myself, which is I sing on the Cakey, spelled C-A-K-Y. That's what my friends call me. And if you're coming from this podcast, you're definitely a friend. So yeah, I'm overly active. I'm a Gen Z level of active on social media.
Wonderful. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for taking the time to share this wonderful work happening down in the West Village, for sharing your insights. This has been just such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. This has been lovely.
My guest today has been the amazing playwright and producer, Caitlin Winzett, who joined us to talk about her new show, Watch Me, which is playing now through August 25th at the Players Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting theplayerstheater.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But hurry up and get your tickets before the show is gone. You're not going to want to miss this. Such a fun and a little bit frightening at times show. Again, the show is Watch Me, playing now through August 25th. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, that you have a plan to get out and vote, and you do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.